The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, Julie Immel. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, Laurie. I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much on this very cold day. Very cold. We're taping Friday instead of Thursday, which kind of seems to be our norm lately, but that's a good thing. But it is cold, man, and it's going to be cold tonight and this weekend, so bundle up, baby. You're in for a ride. Let's see what happens.
As long as it's not S-N-O-W, I'm fine with the cold. It's okay.
Well, it would be a little warmer if it would S-N-O-W. It would probably be a little tiny bit warmer. So.
I know, but I don't care. I told you, I don't care about the cold as long as it's temporary, it is going to warm up again, so that's good. And it's December, so here we are.
Yeah.
What can we do? There's nothing we could do except move to a warmer climate. And
Which I'm not doing. But I want to tell you, I'm so proud of us as a group and my family. We went out in 20 degree or maybe lower last week to go to the winter market on the square.
Oh, right.
And
right.
We bundled like nobody's business. I couldn't move. I had so many layers on. The cuddle duds worked, but I felt like an Oompa Loompa, and it was funny.
Yeah.
And,
Do you want me to start singing? Because I will.
Yeah. Please,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's how I felt. But I wasn't cold, and we had a lovely time. And, you know, I think it was brave of us to do it because the kids are very hardy in that way. I think they have like this Viking blood in them that they're warm all the time no matter what, and they're good, and I'm envious of that because I didn't quite get that. But if you dress properly and you're smart about it.
Like anything else.
Yes. So we'll get through this.
Yeah. And I think the market was a huge, I haven't talked to Maureen, but I think it was a huge success. And those little huts, kind of whatever they're called, they were adorable.
I think you were calling them pods. Okay. I have to say,
adorable.
I noticed it immediately. As soon as we pulled up, it looked so uniform and bright and cheerful.
Yep.
Those pods elevated that event to a whole new level, and it really looked like one of those European winter Christmas markets.
They
hit the mark with those, and even though it was absolutely freezing outside, it was such a good time. We had a blast, and we were there for hours. We really meandered about and took our time. We shopped. We got some beautiful, beautiful gifts. The kids found some handcrafted a spatula and a little herb. I'm not sure what they call it, but you put the herbs in and it pulls the stem away from the herb itself. I don't know what the proper term is, but hand carved out of wood from this amazing artist locally. And so they've chose those for their Gammy's birthday was this week. And so we got her some really high speed handcrafted kitchen utensils and she loved them. And we found some other things that I can't mention because, you know,
because they're Christmas gifts.
Yeah. They're for Christmas.
And speaking of that, Julie, we have to interrupt a minute because we have to give a big birthday shout out to Miss Diane Immel for her birthday this year. So happy, happy birthday, Mrs. Immel. Right, Julie?
Yeah, that's right. Happy birthday, Mom. She responds mostly to Gammy these days.
That's okay.
Yeah, Gammy or Ma. Ma, Ma.
If you're in the grocery store,
like 20 women will turn around and you yell Ma. But that's our Gammy. She was partying pretty hard this week.
There you go.
Lots of cake.
Good.
Yes.
How did the cupcakes go over? Big?
Okay. The cupcakes were amazing. I do not have a lot of confidence with my ability with cake. I do okay, but I feel like my mom is really like a cake wizard. She's amazing with it. I don't know what she does. Exactly. I mean, she's very forthcoming. She bakes with me. She shows me, but there's something magical about what she bakes. I'm like that more with cookies. Cookies are kind of more my jam. I don't have that kind of confidence with cakes, so I was extremely nervous to be making her birthday cupcakes, and she asked for cupcakes, and I worked really hard on them. I think they came out very nice, and then I had the kids help me decorate them. So we just did very simple white cupcakes, white icing. Some of them had coconut, some had Jimmy's, and then I didn't want to have too many candles going on because I needed to carry them from the second floor down, and I didn't want to light them at the table. Like, there was a whole thing that I was trying to do. So I'm like, how can I make this tray look festive? And I had a good idea. At the very last second, I threw fairy lights on the tray with the cupcakes, and then I just put the candle in the one for my mom. Right. And that came out so cute. I did not think to take a picture because everybody had their cell phones and iPads, and you know, I don't have a picture. Nobody took a picture of these cute little cupcakes. No. They did, however, I will say this. My siblings really delighted in taking terrible pictures of me, and this was like the entertainment for the after party. Little stinkers. I guess, you know, they're right. I look angry in every photo. I don't know why that is. Because I'm not, you know, by
Lovely.
Nature, I'm not a miserable person, right?
I know. That's why that's weird.
But in pictures I look like I'm going to murder someone. Like I could just rip your face off.
Well, maybe because you didn't like the antics at the moment and they caught you during that.
No, I don't want getting my picture taken. I think it's that simple.
Oh, okay.
I hate getting my picture taken. I always have. And so at every family gathering, the thing is, oh, let's get the Cranky Julie photo. But they got a bunch. And the more they took, the more enraged I became. But it was funny, but I was still mad. Yeah, this was a thing. I'm like, I can't believe we're still doing this at our age. You know, we're all adults. It was hysterical, though. It really was.
Well,
and now, though, they have these terrible pictures of me that I'm sure will be used as blackmail at some point if I'm not cooperating. And I'm never cooperating. So
it's all good, Julie. It's all family fun and sibling stuff and your mother, it was your mother's birthday, so nothing better than sibling antics.
It was funny.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And speaking of cookies, we will be doing that this coming week. You
I'm so excited.
And yours truly, and my dear friend Julie Orlowski, who is just love her to pieces. We are going up to her church in Tunkhannock, and the three of us are going to be rolling out and decorating our cookies at the church. We decided we were going to go there. Last year, if you recall, Julie and I went to this place over on Spruce Street, which is no longer there, and we rented that, and we did our cookies there. We made the dough ahead of time and brought it with us, and then we had some fun for a couple hours, had lunch and hung around all day and just did the cookies. And so we decided we're going up to Julie's church this year, which will be a little bit of a ride for you and me.
Yeah.
To Tunkhannock. And yeah, it'll be fun. We're going to enjoy it and go up and decorate our cookies. And as I said the other day, I think I'm going to make a few without any decos because then we're going to icing them and have some with, because I've always wanted to make a cutout cookie with icing and I never do. They're always sprinkles or something. So I thought, or glittery, you know, what's it called? What is that called? Not sprinkles. Like a sprinkle. With the glitter. Just like the candied stuff on top, sugar stuff. And so I'm going to make some plain and bring them home and do that. But, yeah, so we'll have fun with that. And I think it's going to be a good time. The three of us will laugh and do our stuff and have some fun. And Julie and I have been doing this now for the last couple years. She, 2 years before this, she came to my house and we did it and we had a great time. And then we went to that place last year and now we're going up to the church, which, you know, I love church kitchens because there's always space and it's clean. And Julie's Church, these ladies and men just take such good care of this place. And we'll make a nice little donation to the church for allowing us to use it. And we're going to have some fun. So stop at the downtown deli and grab a wrap and go up and have lunch. Or I don't know, Julie was checking something up in Tunkhannock, too, to see what they had. And maybe we'll just do that. But either way, we're going to have a nice little time together. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
And we'll report next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't decided
how well
exactly
we do.
What I'm going to bake while I'm there. I have a list of what I want to do. It's ambitious.
Mine is
but
the cutout.
Okay. See, yeah, you already know. I don't know yet. I just don't know.
And I'm making the dough. Tommy and I are making the dough this weekend, and then it'll sit. Because it's better to let it should for a couple hours. My mother always made it a day or two before and let the dough sit in the refrigerator. So you do have to let it sit for a while. So it'll be, you know, overnight a day or two before we leave on Monday. So it'll be nice. So looking forward to having that as part of our conversation next week to see how well we do. Although I've been doing this for a million years, this cutout. It's my mom and Nana's recipe, and they got it from somebody else, and it's just been passed on. My brother uses it. He and his girls, my brother Timmy loves to bake cookies, and he and his girls every year do several. I think they do chocolate chip, and this is what in my house at the Cadden household, it was cutout cookies, chocolate chip, and peanut butter. They were our Christmas baking cookies.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And Timmy makes the same, and he does a couple others. We did, you know, we did one year, a couple years, Jill, years ago with my mom and Nana, we did those thumbprint cookies.
Oh,
which I
good.
Love, those little nests with the walnuts, and then you press down and you put a little bit of jelly. They're delicious. So, and then my grandmother used to make these nut horns, and they were really good. They were like a rolled cookie, and you roll them in cinnamon sugar and walnuts and bake them.
Oh, yeah.
And they were
those
literally rolled like a, oh, my God. So that'll be the day. That'll be what we're doing and the weekend. And so, and just one big shout-out. I did my military, oh, no, I think that we talked about that the time before. It was last week. We did my military selection board with Matt Cartwright at Marywood with a group of us with these incredible kids, and I'm on the West Point. I interview the kids who have to go to West Point, and of course you need a congressional, a senatorial, or a vice president letter of approval or letter of recommendation, I should say, to get to apply to any of the schools minus the Coast Guard. And that's what we did. And we had a great time. And that was at Marywood and just a great a wonderful group of people. My buddy, Colonel Dan Braun was the lead. He was always there all the time. He's a West Point grad, has done a lot of work, continues to work with West Point. And so it was just a lot of fun to be there. In this great, we had Sandy Lamont and Donna Barbetti and Angelique Irwin and Colonel Dan and yours truly, and we had a great time. And it was just a great morning and a great day of service. These kids are incredible. I cannot believe where they are and what they do and how incredible these kids are who are going to be our future military leaders. So anyway, big shout out to that. And that's what I can report today. So we're going to take a quick break. We have two wonderful people coming up, Jewel. We have Leah Genacopoulos from ERA, one of our sponsors, and we have Rhonda Beamer, who's going to talk a little bit about the Ice Festival coming up. So we're talking with those next, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel, who is our producer. And Julie is the owner of Julie D. Immel Communications. And best said by Julie. Jewel, tell them what you do.
Thanks, Laurie.
I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
There you go. And with us is the lovely and talented and beautiful, I might add, Rhonda Beamer, who is one of the co-chairs for the Scranton Tomorrow's Scranton Ice Fest, which will take place in January. Is it 17, 18, 19, Rhonda?
It is, yes.
There you go. And it is going to happen in the downtown. Rhonda's going to tell us a lot about this. Rhonda is a board member of Scranton Tomorrow, and she and Tony Bartocci are the chairs once again for this great event. It was a success last year, and they're banking on the success of this year and see what happens in the new year of 2025. Again, January 17th, 18th, and 19th is a three-day event, which was asked by a lot of the downtown stores and participants of making this a little bit, making it a whole weekend. So that's what these two lovely people have done, and they're going to tell us about it. But Rhonda, I have to tell you this on air because I keep meaning to tell you every time I see you. Do you know those two gals who do the home edit? They're organizers. There's two of them. I don't know their names. Do you know who they are?
I don't know.
Well, look them up. I think it's called The Home Edit. There is the one of the women in there reminds me so much of you. Every time I see her, I think that's Rhonda Beamer. So just so you know, when you get off this taping, check it out and you'll see. She's adorable and she reminds me so much of you. So I kept meaning to tell you. I'm telling you now. So, Rhonda, this is a major undertaking. Now, just so we all know, it's full disclosure that I am a board member of Scranton Tomorrow. You are, and you're a co-chair, and Julie Immel. So we're all closely linked here with Scranton Tomorrow because Julie Immel also does some work for them. And so we all love Scranton Tomorrow and the work that gets done there. And Rhonda, this is no small undertaking. It's a lot of work, and it's in a freezing time of the year, cold January after the holidays, and gives us some sparkle and shine that we like to have around the downtown. To me, like a piece of ice is like a nice jewel that sparkles in the sun. So nice if it's sunny and cold, we have it made. So tell everybody what they can expect, what the weekend looks like, and how it's going to work.
Oh, my gosh. Well, again, Lori, thank you so much, and Julie, for having me on this morning. We're so excited about Ice Fest again this year. This is the second year that Scranton Tomorrow has been at the helm of Ice Fest, and we learned a lot. We did a really phenomenal job last year, and downtown was packed. There were so many people downtown. Oddly enough, despite the weather or the winter time, the weather was, I think we were 60 degrees last year. So it was a beautiful day to walk around, beautiful weekend to walk around. This year we're hoping for more seasonal weather, but we're planned for 2 degrees and we're planned for 70 degrees. Either way, it's going to be a remarkable event. But we start off right on Friday night. What we're known for and what we're really focused on is really kicking off the weekend with a grand, spectacular opening. So last year we had lots of entertainment under the big top. We were circus last year, and we've turned our attention and our theme is movies this year, which provides so many creative opportunities that the businesses can engage in that theme. So this year our big spectacular opening is going to be a full-blown movie premiere red carpet event. We are going to have the lights, the red carpet, and the celebrities. So come downtown and have your picture taken with a celebrity, or should I say a lookalike. So lots of activities starting right at 5 o'clock on Friday. We have entertainment. The whole event is just designed to move people throughout the downtown. We are utterly delighted to be hosted by Art House this year, which is just so perfectly aligned with our theme. We appreciate them taking time from their busy movie schedule, which is very active this year, to, you know, really engage with us with our premiere event. So we'll have our premiere, then we have some entertainment planned. I think you'll find a lot of things engaged inside the mall and on Courthouse Square. And then again, later that evening, we have lots planned for the 21 and plus crowd to really pull and engage our youth throughout the downtown. So really designed to go from one business to the next and take in the sites, activities, and sculptures in the meantime. So Saturday and Sunday is, again, you know, designed with entertainment, sculptures throughout the downtown, lots of live carving, lots of interaction, and all kinds of activities. So from Friday night right through 5 o'clock on Sunday, there's lots to do and see. But we're doing this all to really support the downtown businesses. It's really those businesses that make Scranton special. They're just really some wonderful businesses with lots of offerings that just make downtown a fun place to be. So really, we're just that ice backdrop to support these incredible businesses that are there for us year round.
So Rhonda, can people still participate in, as far as doing a nice sculpture or participate in some fashion for sponsorships? I know you mentioned the Art House, which is great that you're working with them, because that's such a fabulous place, and to do that with that as the backdrop is really cool for that opening. I love that idea. I know that the county, you said that the county has worked with you this year with their little huts that they had that Julie and I talked about earlier about when we had Maureen on 2 weeks ago to talk about the downtown winter market, and they had those for the first time and were using those. Talk a little bit about that, and if there are still opportunities for people if they want to sponsor whether it's if they don't have a business downtown or not, they can sponsor an ice sculpture and participate, right? There's still that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. First, take care of business here with the county. The county has been amazing, absolutely amazing. Yep. Maureen has been lovely. The county have these beautiful new huts. There's two sizes, and they've just so graciously offered them for our use and helping us with the logistics of putting them in place. So we can't thank the county enough. They've been lovely. And I think that's going to be really wonderful for us this year, because we can do so many different things with these huts. So more to come, and I don't want to spill all the surprises. In terms of getting involved, there's lots of ways to get involved. So starting with the sculptures, our orders have been coming in. We've had orders in since October. But we're going to take orders all the way through December, and we can probably even pull more in January as well. Last year we had 55 sculptures total, and we believe that we're going to hit that marker more again this year. So there's opportunities for sculptures. Something new that we're seeing this year, which is really fun, we have businesses that are combining their efforts and their resources to larger, more spectacular sculptures. We're seeing that in particular, I can cite, you definitely have to visit the 300 block of Penn Avenue, because they're really putting them, you know, working together to create something spectacular. So that's pretty cool as well. With this committee, we're very committed to, you know, working with people who want to get involved. So if you're a business downtown and you're not sure you want to do a sculpture, but you want to do something different, give us a call, because we work with individuals, and if there's something that you want to do, we'll pull together this phenomenal committee that we have, and we'll do things very unique with each particular business. So we're very hands-on and very involved with that as well. We are actively signing up volunteers. There's lots of ways to just get involved and get engaged and volunteer. We had an amazing group of volunteers from all over last year, and we had such a great time with them, and they were so wonderful just to help us pull off what we had pulled off last year. So feel free to volunteer, get those hours in. We'll work with you on that as well. Let's see here. So we've got volunteer, we've got sculptures, and then we've got sponsorship. So I would turn everyone's attention to our website, Downtown on Ice. And in there, we have various levels of sponsorship that people can get engaged. It gets wonderful promotion for your business. And again, it's a way for businesses to really give back to our community and make Scranton such a great place to live, you know, and to work and to play. So lots of opportunities there. We've been, you know, hitting the phones and calling the local businesses and institutions and growing those sponsorships. But, you know, there's lots more room for sponsorship opportunities and to really get our businesses engaged to make this, you know, just really big and spectacular this year.
Yeah, I think it's great. And again, to me, anything that we can do to highlight and to showcase what the downtown has to offer, I mean, the whole area. But the downtown is so cool. I mean, the stuff that the stores that are popping up, the restaurants that are coming, you know, we were talking a little bit throughout the last, I don't know, Julie, we've been talking about this for a while, about how much, you know, people who are coming, people who have invested their time and their money into the downtown and bringing really cool restaurants in different ways. And that 300 block of Penn, as you were saying, Rhonda, is just such a, I mean, there's so many wonderful blocks, but that in particular, there's so, you drive down that block and there is so much going on from the stores to the restaurants to the just everything. I mean, everything, you know, for the Ballet Theater of Scranton is in that block. I mean, there's the art room. There are so many things that are going on in that one little 300 block of Penn Avenue, not counting everything that goes on in all these great blocks of in our region and the courthouse and working with the county and all of that, and this, these tried and true, these people who have been here for years and years, and these developers and the from their apartments to the restaurants to the stores. It's amazing when you look at it, and to celebrate it in the middle of a cold month, that can bring some warmth to the downtown because it brings everyone out and brings people together and shows your community spirit. It's truly a wonderful thing to do. Scranton Tomorrow has their finger on the pulse, works very well, and continues to work because it's all about highlighting the downtown and making, and which is why it's called Scranton Tomorrow. A lot of that happens, and people are doing it. And Rhonda and Tony are two of the greatest people to showcase this because they're loaded with personality and enthusiasm and believe in what's good for our community and keep on doing it. So, Rhonda, hats off to you, to Tony, to, you know, Ice Camera Action. It's all going to take place on January 17th, 18th, and 19th. Again, most importantly to note, when you have children, you have a family, come on down. It is free to the public. You can walk around and see these things, see the action, see the sculptures being done even as you speak. Walk around, visit. If you don't want, if you can't do anything and it's not something you can afford to do, you don't have to worry about it. Come down and see all this stuff and take it all in. It works all the way around for everybody. So let's just make sure we keep supporting these. If you can do a sponsorship or sponsor a sculpture or go in on a more spectacular one, which Rhonda was talking about. Rhonda, I love that idea because the bigger, sometimes the better with this kind of stuff. It's just, you know. Now, will all these sculptures be a movie theme? How will that work real quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. So we gave creative license to our businesses. We said, you know, Ice Camera Action, you can be very literal with how you want to design, you know, your business and your sculpture and your windows. You know, you could do a sculpture of a movie camera or a clapboard. But we've also said, hey, take advantage of, you know, your favorite movie, like, I don't know, Ghostbusters. There's a lot that you can do with that particular theme or, you know, Back to the Future. The list goes on. So it's going to be really exciting for us, too, just as chairs, to see how all of this comes together. You know, right now our businesses are really busy with, you know, Deck the Downtown and Christmas season, but it'll be really fun when all of this really starts to unveil itself as the month moves along. So there's going to be so much to see. So exciting and lots of opportunity, like I said, for creative license.
There you go. Good, good, good. Well, Rhonda, congratulations. I'm going to say that in advance because I know it's going to be great if it's anything like last year, which was a success. And like you said, bringing
fun.
3 days in. It's all listening to the people that you help support. Scranton Tomorrow helps support the downtown businesses, and they all want this. And so we're making it a full weekend with the help of the county and everybody else. This is great. So look forward. It'll start on the 17th, Friday night the 17th, and last right through the weekend. So come on down and support it. And Rhonda, again, thank you to Tony and to you, and to keep on doing good stuff. We're happy for you to spend some little bit of time with us this morning on this cold Friday morning. So thank you. And we will, and don't forget to look at the home edit and make sure you see what I'm talking about, okay?
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, honey. Thank you so much. And everyone else, will be right back. We have the lovely Leah Giannakopoulos coming up next from ERA One Source Realty, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business, and with us is my producer extraordinaire, Miss Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, tell them what you got there, kiddo.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thank you, Jewel. Hey, and a big birthday shout-out to one of my best friends, Mary Jean Dixon. Her birthday was the 11th of December, so big happy birthday if you see Mary Jean. And with us is Ms. Leah Giannakopoulos, who is a realtor with ERA One Source Realty in Clark Summit. And Leah, we have about 80-some agents in 5 offices in 10 counties and counting, and lots of stuff going on. And is the end of the year of a full year of a lot of ups and downs, and we're going to talk a little bit about this fact that the Christmas holiday season in the real estate world, and how the difference in a week can make, that Thanksgiving was so much later this year that it kind of pushed it in. And like someone said to me the other day, well, Thanksgiving was technically in December this year, so, which it felt like it, because it's pretty darn close. So anyway, here we go. So Leah, welcome. Good to have you back. And
what is
going on in the world of real estate?
So, yeah, Laura, you mentioned it's been like the ups and downs. It really has been a weird, crazy year when you look at it. Like, we started off January with crazy high interest rates, and then they dropped. And then, remember, like, we had that great conversation when the Feds dropped almost like about half a point, and they more than they thought they were going to. But, you know, then everything went down, and then it was back up. And then it really was like a yo-yo of, like, year of rates, I guess you could say. But nevertheless, there is still an inventory shortage, which is crazy when you think about it, because, you know, it hasn't let the builders get caught up with building yet. So I think maybe once the builders are able to build more spec houses, more new construction can come on, then we'll really see a better catch up on inventory. And right now, like, I have a ton of buyers with all different needs and wants right now, and I'm seeing more so people saying to me, you know what, Leah, we'll look at it, let's see what's going on, but we'd rather really see what goes on in January. You know, the Feds are expecting to drop the rates again. You know, I don't know if it'll affect the interest rates. I don't know. I do think the rates will come down a little bit at some point next year. I don't know if it's going to be the magic month of January. But I do think that they will drop a little bit just because, you know, they're floating around the 7s. I think that they'll drop into the 6s again. And I think that's where they're going to stay for quite some time. I don't see them going any crazy low, because right now, you know, if you really take a look at what's going on with the world, we need that 6 to balance everything. And Laura, like we've said in the past, we've had multiple conversations on this topic, the 6 is a normal rate. So And it's funny because I was just at a conference and I was talking with someone from a different brokerage and we were just having a conversation. He's like, you know, my mom to this day always says, like, you know, when we bought, me and your father bought our house, it was at 23%, and then it went down to 17%, yep. And we thought that was the best thing, and then they went down to 11%, and like, and I said, I know, I said, my mother says it all the time, and you know, you think back to, like, people buying houses at 23%, not even 23%, like, 11%, like, that's crazy, and then you think, okay, a 6 is really a normal, stable rate, and I think it also is a comfortable rate for most people, so I'm expecting that that's definitely going to pick up the market, you know, and then the old tale of, you know, people only like to stay in their house every 5 to 7 years. Well, 2025 is going to be that 5-year mark from 2020 where people were buying like crazy. So, you know, I think we're going to see that expectancy of people outgrowing their house, the walls closing in on them, another child has come, another circumstance of marriage, moving, relocation. Unfortunately, maybe one of the D's, death, divorce, or whatever. So I don't know if it's going to be – I think we might see a boost in inventory come the spring, and that's some of the market predictions that I've been listening to, especially like off the Harvard Business Journal and all of that. When you listen to some of these really, really good blogs and podcasts, and they've got a lot of great information. So I do think that 2025 is going to be a pretty beneficial year in real estate when it, you know, when you look at some of the pieces and the parts of the game. So I'm expecting that we'll see a boost come probably more so towards quarter two, the end of quarter one. But it is funny, like you said, I mean, I didn't even think about that. Technically, Thanksgiving really was in December, but when you look at 1 week, it killed everybody, you know? Like, I said, like, the other day, I was like, I usually do, like, a little gift card exchange with all my girlfriends, and honestly, there's just not a weekend left to do it. So I said, maybe we'll do like a winter dinner or something. Like, I feel like I even, like, the stuff that we usually do, like, stuff got cut short. Like, I had a friend that moved her annual Christmas party earlier into the fall because there was just no time to do it this year, so she did a fall party instead. So, and I think people just were so overwhelmed that they went from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and like, I mean, who wants to move in 4 weeks in between?
That's the problem. Yeah. And you know what, Leah, the other thing is, because we lost that week, so to speak, it's like, you know, it seems like everything is condensed. Everyone's trying to get in and get everything done. And then you throw in moving and listing your house. And although I would assume, and I think about this, like, when you walk into somebody's house who's well decorated for Christmas, it's very inviting and cozy, and there's a saleable feature to that because it makes you feel like, oh, this is what I could feel like when I go in. But no one really wants to. I mean, how do you find it now, Leah, with people who really want to sell? But do you think most people are saying, the hell with it now, we're going to wait till the beginning of the year because it's a Christmas and we're in this mode, we're in Christmas mode, we're in this. Does that still exist, or do you think people just really, if they're made their mind up and they're ready to go, they do it regardless? Where are people out there with their mindset these days?
Oh, I have, I went yesterday, I had 2 listing appointments. They were just wanting to get the ball rolling. One doesn't want to list until the end of March, beginning of April, but wanted me to get everything in going for her. Another one, same thing. He said after the holidays, he's not looking to be out as far as March, but he said let's do maybe January. I have another girl who said that let's, you know, we put her house on way too late in the summer, kind of missed that market. And, you know, obviously we had like a crazy year with like political events and stuff like that. It was a very hectic year overall with stuff. So then she just said, like, let's just wait and put it back on in March. I have another one. I went on a listing appointment 2 weeks ago. It was right before Thanksgiving. And he's like, oh, maybe we'll get it on before Christmas. I talked to him on Wednesday and I said, hey, at this point, let's just put it on in January. I said, because you guys aren't going to want, like, the in and out, because we're already in the middle of December. It's not like it's the first week of December where I'd be like, yeah, let's put it on now. You know, at least, like, we'll have a couple of weeks. Like, I'd rather get it on, get it fresh, and get it ready for 2025. So, I mean, honestly, I have a pretty decent amount of listings coming up for 2025 already.
Yeah, well, so, that's good. I mean, that's a good thing. Because, like you said, you hope.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, the inventory. It's always, Leah, what is the biggest, is it all around inventory? Is it still multi-units? Because I think so many young people who have that entrepreneurial way about them and spirit, they think, let me buy at least a duplex. Forget multi-unit. How are the duplex? What's the situation with duplexes? Because people look at it and they say, hey, I could rent. It could help me with my mortgage. I could still own. And I have this to springboard for something else. What's going on with that?
Oh, they're still going pretty crazy. I mean, listen, I just thought, I just got that conversation this morning. Like, he called me and he was like, you know what I'm thinking? Like, instead of the single family I was thinking I wanted to buy, he's like, mm-hmm. I think I want to buy a two-unit, live on one side, rent out the other.
Yep.
He's like, because this way I could start getting my real estate portfolio going. He's like, who cares if I only live in this house for a year? He's like, I'd rather do that, get the income coming in. He's like, and then I could open up a bigger budget maybe in a year or 18 months. And I said, whatever you want to do, we can look
and it's
at
truly options. I mean, that really is a good idea, because whether you sell it and make money on it, or it's, you keep it and you buy something else and you have that as leverage, and then you rent out both units or side by sides or however it goes. Leah, you know what I never, too, speaking of a side by side, you know, we grew up, you and I grew up in Westside, and there were so many of those double houses. And, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but, and Julie, you probably have seen this, where one side of the house is owned by someone and the other side, and they literally paint down the middle, and their side is one color, the other side, Leah, do you remember those? I'm trying to remember specifically.
I do and I don't, but I know what you're talking about, when they would own
oh my
one side. Well, Lori, remember? We just did that a couple years ago, that one in the hill section. Remember? They only owned one side of that double.
It's just bizarre. I remember that, but I mean, there was this one in particular I would drive by, and it was one side was painted the one color, and the okay, talk about drawing the line in the sand
right
there, man. That was
really,
that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But so Leah, do they pop up a lot where it is an issue with the half double being owned, or are you seeing more, or maybe you don't at all, where the both sides are owned by the same owner? Where is that going? Because I always found
that's
that bizarre.
Not common anymore.
It's owned by one person, right?
Yeah, like
yeah.
The last time that really happened was 4 years ago when we did that one with the person you had.
Yeah, I forgot about
section.
That. Yeah,
I do, you know, like I said, it's not as common, but I'll tell you, what with the multifamilies, though, they really still are very busy. I mean, I guess, you know, it seems like there's a lot of good talk still around the funding that's going on for the train. So I guess that's a huge positive, too, that we're seeing. So there's so much going on. There's so much positive. Like, you know, just going downtown and, like, just go drive by the new Tinks. You know, it's gonna be called a Terra.
I know.
Pretty excited. We have the soft opening, and I'm really excited to check it out. But, like, that building just brought Linden Street to life. And
It looks beautiful.
It's unbelievable, yeah. So, I mean, mm-hmm. It's just, Scranton is not, like, and I've been saying this, I'm a huge proponent of Scranton and everything good. It's not what it was 10 years ago. So I think that people are really open to being back in Scranton. And going back off of what we said with the multis, like, I mean, I always buy a house, I live in it for a couple of years, I keep it and rent it. And that's just a great way to get your feet started, you know, like, and get your, feet wet, go, and I think that's what a lot of kids now don't want to pay these crazy rents anymore. They got to pay them in college, and they got that out of their system, you know?
Yep. And they do grow up to that fact, like, hey, you know what, I can own this, and if I'm paying this guy this much rent, I can get that in my own space and make it my own. So let's hope people have that spirit and they keep moving, and we keep making 2025. Leah, I think you'll be on one more time. We know you have a spot, and hopefully that's the case with you, and we'll talk to you again at the end of the year, and we'll talk about what our hopes and dreams will be in the real estate world for 2025. So thank you
Absolutely.
For joining us today. Keep a good thought. Keep going, kiddo. And, you know, remember, Leah, West is best, baby.
That's right.
There you go. All right, honey. Thanks for joining us. And everybody else, we will see you next weekend. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. Stay warm, be safe, and please be nice. Bye.